Welcome to the Nations Church Belmont podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Amen. So, you've come at a great time in the life of Nations Church. Over the last 2 weeks, we've had our Vision Sundays, where our theme for this year is faith, as you can see it in bold, colourful letters as you come in. In the first week, Pastor Ken was talking about the different types of faith that we should be displaying in our everyday lives, whether it's being audacious faith, unshakable faith, enduring faith, childlike faith, and courageous faith. And we were called to live that all our lives. Then last week, Gaz really commissioned us as a campus and as ministers of faith. And in three particular areas, in our family, in our workplace, in our church. And he emphasized that faith is active. It's actually a verb. It's not a noun, it's a verb. And we do faith, we act out faith, we take steps of faith. And so I'm continuing this series, and I'm basically talking about how to be a minister of faith in our everyday lives, kind of breaking it down for us. And if you lean forward, I believe that God's going to shift some of your mindsets today. He's going to bring freedom over some misconceptions that have clouded your judgment, and the enemy has got in and discouraged you. So really lean forward. I believe that this is really what God's been speaking to me about you. All right, so let's open up the word to Matthew 6, 5 to 14. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and on street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. When your Father who sees what you've done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us for our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. We all know this. This is the Lord's Prayer. For those that don't know, I'm actually a teacher, and I worked in seven of our WA Christian schools. So I've been around. And in Christian schools, often at assemblies, we recite the Lord's Prayer. Has anyone in school remember reciting the Lord's Prayer? Yeah, a lot of you. Some proud moments over there. And so we all know this. This scripture is actually part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. In fact, it's the very center section of the center section of the Sermon on the Mount. Before this, Jesus was doing a little bit of teaching and a little bit of healing. But he wasn't really known. He wasn't really well known in the area. And he didn't have a large following until the word kind of got out and he amassed this large crowd. And that's where he preached the Sermon on the Mount. In a lot of ways, it was like the church's first Vision Sunday, where Jesus was establishing his kingdom cultures and his kingdom. And he wasn't using it, because what they were expecting was him to come with the savior of the Jewish nation, to come with power and with might and overthrow the Romans. However, he was saying that the kingdom of God is found in the weak of spirit, in the meek and in the peacemakers. And so he is establishing through the Sermon on the Mount his kingdom culture. He taught on a lot through the Sermon on the Mount, but this is the only part where he talks on prayer. It's important to note that Jesus wasn't teaching us what to pray. He was teaching us how to pray. That's why sometimes it really bothers me in schools when we're reciting the Lord's Prayer, because we often don't bring context. Now, hear me, it's really important, especially when you're learning the fundamentals, to have those memory verses and for it to be ingrained, because it's through we're changed through the renewing of our mind through the Word of God. So it's really important. However, I sometimes struggle because we sometimes don't give context of what it is instead of reciting it word for word. So Jesus is actually giving us a blueprint to prayer and how to orientate ourselves with God's will daily. And the part of the sermon, the part of the Lord's Prayer I want to focus on is actually the start, the first couple of verses. So in Matthew 6, 9 to 11, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that leads me to the title of my message today, which is Faith in God's Will. See, you may be thinking, yeah, great, Ty, this is a great sermon. Already on the right notes. Because I don't know a Christian that doesn't have a deep, deep desire to be at the center of God's will. Like, as I talk to you guys, as I chat to young people, as I teach and talking to young Christians, there are always questions on what's God's will for my life. And so, and we all have that desire to be at the center of it, and it's and I understand that. So, but when we think of the will of God, we actually draw near to the big questions. So the questions we kind of draw near to, and what I like to call the big W will of God, is this. There we go. We think about my calling. What am I called to, God? What are you asking me to do with my life? My career. What am I meant to do, God? My identity. God, give me my true name. Am I called to ministry? God, what are you wanting me to do with my life? My church, where do you want me to serve, Lord? Where do you want me to plant myself so I can see your kingdom come? My spiritual gifts. God, I know that you want to use me with power. What are my spiritual gifts? And then if you're single, who's my spouse? Who am I supposed to be with for the rest of my life? Am I going to have kids? Those that are married, believing for that kid, they're great questions. These are really, really important questions. I want to preface that this is actually, and God wants to unveil this to you. Like, I want you to hear me. He wants to unveil this to you. They're not bad things to ask. In fact, they're great things that God wants to do. But as we focus on them too much, we have an expectation to do these mighty things for God. We want to preach and see people come to Jesus. We want to go on in the street and pray for someone and see healing. We want to see those big things. Some of you have the heart to be a minister of the gospel, to be in church as a paid staff member. And that's a great thing. However, when we have this expectation of these big things up here, but when we look at our daily lives, there's a disparity. And there is a disappointment that comes in with that disparity. There is a disillusionment, or maybe a frustration when it comes to the timing of it all. And so I'm wanting to talk about that today. Because ultimately, through that disappointment, we actually lose faith in God's will for our lives. And we lose faith that he wants to use us, because we see up here, but we're down here in our everyday lives. So the question I've got for you is, what does being in the center of God's will look like? And I want to go back to that same scripture, Matthew 6, 9 to 11. And the answer is actually given in the next verse. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day. Give us this day. Give us this day. The will of God that Jesus is talking about that we're submitting to is not the big W will of God. It's the little W will of God today. What's happening today in our lives? And the Lord's Prayer starts with surrender. Your kingdom come, your will be done today. Before you bring your petitions, before you bring your confessions to God, we start with surrender. That's what the Lord's Prayer is. And not only that, remember, before, like when I was younger, in my young adult years, I used to come to God with my list of demands. Like, this is what I want you to achieve with my life, God. Can you do this? Can you sort me out, please? No surrender. All frustration. A lot of frustration. And so it's just that relinquishing. So your kingdom come, not my empire. It's important to recognize that we actually have a will of our own. Otherwise, there'd be nothing to surrender. It'd be easy to surrender, but we've got a will. You've got a will. Trust me, I'm a teacher. I deal with 30 little wills each day. They're not so little. I've got a 2.5-year-old, biggest will I've ever met in my life. I can control 30 year twos, but I can't control a 2.5-year-old. Sorry, frustration. This is my venting time. So the question I have for you, what's your will telling you? As you go through your week, it may be easy on a Sunday, get to wake up later because you come into the 11. So your will was definitely to sleep in this morning. However, I want to think you to think about your weeks. Think about your normal day, getting up, going to work. On your way to work, what are you thinking about? You're like, these are the things I need to do today. These are the things. Or like me, this morning, waking up going, oh, geez, can I just get through this day? And so my will for the day looks like this. Survive the day. Some of you may relate to it, especially parents. Have my outcomes met? You may be a little bit more proactive than me. And you have your will that you're wanting to see. You've got your dot points and your things that you're wanting to achieve that day. You've got you're a list maker, and you're like, by the end of the day, I want to see all these boxes ticked. Maybe you're a parent or a teacher, and you're like, can I just get through the day with no chaos? Can I get through the day with no drama? I teach year 9 girls. I know exactly about drama. And like, this is something, and I want you to know that a lot of this message has not come from my observations in pastoral ministry. A lot of this has come through my daily lives as my daily life as a teacher. And so, like, I really do believe it's, and I just want to take you on a journey of where God's taken me on this. So I have stuff to do as a teacher. Get in my car. I'm thinking about my classes, thinking about all the things I need to do. Urgencies of the day. I have difficult classes that I want to survive. I've got great classes that I want to see achieve. I have great, I have very strong-willed students that I'm having to fight. We're all very, very busy people trying to make a life, trying to provide for our families, trying to get that promotion and deal with those difficult situations in our life, whether it being a colleague or struggle with your spouse or... And so what I find is that when we look at the big W will of God and then we look at the reality of our daily will, the will of God and our daily will of God is squished between the big capital W will of God and my will for this day. Because we're looking at the big things here. God, bring your will, bring your will, bring your will, bring your will, bring your will. But I wake up every day and I'm wanting to survive it. I wake up my day and I've got my list of things I'm wanting to complete that day. Where's God? Where's his desires? Where's his wants? This really hit home in my first couple of years of teaching. I'm competitive. Don't know if anyone knows that. I'm competitive. If you don't know, it means, yes, thank you, Jesus, that you're working. But I'm a teacher. I teach phys ed. And my first teaching position was in a great Christian school in WA with a great principal. Had great vision for the school. Wanted to see us succeed in our sporting arena. I was able to coach and coach basketball, soccer, netball. We saw an athletics carnival win. It was great. But my will was to win. My will was to see these kids achieve. And I didn't care about what the kids were going through. I cared about my will for that day. And so I'd wake up every day going, all right, how am I going to best teach these kids how to kick a soccer ball? How am I going to get these kids to do exactly what I ask? Deal with the discipline and really take those great kids and do some amazing things. I found myself in the principal's office a few times that first couple of years. And it was my third year at that school and I was starting to be broken. And my principal actually, instead of giving me more time, hired another phys ed teacher because we were growing. I was a little bit upset about that. This guy was older than me. He was about 15 to 20 years older than me. Good man, love God. Love God. Awesome servant of God. And he asked, and every morning, like, I'd come in, we'd grab a coffee together, and he'd ask me, so what's God doing today in our classes? How's he wanting to work in our classes today? Now, I was into it because I was into God's will. I was really into God's will. I wanted to see God's will come to pass. So I was into this. I was into this as a question. But as he taught me a really valuable lesson, and that's the daily discipline of surrender. Because as we were talking and we were surrendering our day instead and letting go of our will for the day, we started to invite God into our classes. So as you look at the Lord's Prayer, it is a daily prayer. And to be in his will, just follow the progression of Jesus' teachings. He makes it really clear. That's why I love the Lord's Prayer, because it's not something to be recited. It's something to follow as a blueprint. So, as we go back to it, Matthew 6, 9 to 10, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father in heaven is a statement of intimacy. I seek your closeness today, God, and I trust you as my dad. Hallowed be your name is a statement of his sovereignty, power and holiness. You're above it all, God, in control of all things. You are holy. That sounds a lot like praise and worship to me. So we start our day with praise and worship. Then we go through your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, I surrender this day to you. What are you doing in my classes? What are you doing in my business? What are you doing with my daily day-to-day? What are you doing in my daughter? What are you doing in my son? What are you doing with my mum? What are you doing in my dad? What are you doing with that horrible colleague? What are you doing? It's that letting go of our will and picking up his desires for your day. You have to ask him though. Despite what you may think, our Heavenly Father is a gentleman. He will not do something without your permission. And so you actually have to invite him into your day, into every situation to find yourself in. And the great thing about this is as you do it, it works for the positive and the negative things. It shifts your mindset. So before, when you're looking at the little W will of God, kind of life is happening to you. However, it shifts your mindset to God orchestrating your life. And so instead of you looking at the bad things, you're looking at the chaos, you're looking at the drama, and you're going, oh my gosh, this is all happening to me. You're asking the question, God, what are you doing? What are you wanting to do in this situation? What are you wanting to do in these year nine girls? Like, it's actually, because it's so funny how, like, especially men, like, men try to get through their lives with less drama. It's like, we're like, come on, let's just get through it. Let's just go through it. It's like, start to let go of it. I think especially as fathers, because our families can feel a lot at times. As you let go of your need for less drama, and you go, how can I add value to my daughter today? How can I add value to my son or my sons? Sons can be just as chaotic. It allows you to go through your day looking for God moments. That performance review that didn't go so well. God, what are you trying to teach me? That struggle with that rebellious teenager or willful toddler. What? How do you want me to act? How do you want me to show love and discipline in this moment? Your spouse brings you that issue for the 20th time. I wasn't asking for feedback. God, how are you bringing us closer together in this moment right now? See, God wants to use the chaos and the drama of our lives. He doesn't want you to survive your day. He's got plans. He's got better plans than you. You're not that smart. I know, because I'm not that smart. He wants to surprise you with what can be achieved, with who can be reached. The Holy Spirit wants to give you divine insight into the people in your life, into your workplaces, into your communities and your families. He wants to actually release you to be a minister of faith in whatever realm you find yourself in. So let Him take you from surviving the day into thriving in His calling. As I said to you before, I haven't arrived in this at all. I'm going to work, great, can do that. But my weekend's my weekend. This is where I struggle on my weekends when I don't have to get up and go. I really struggle with that daily surrender. But it also doesn't need to be time consuming. I'm not a morning person at all. I relate to you guys, 11 o'clock people. In the mornings, I basically do bare minimum, get up, jump in the shower just to wake me up. Don't need a wash, just need to wake up. And then I jump in the car and I'm on my way to work. And but that daily discipline, you can choose when to give it. It needs to be that daily surrender, daily discipline. But it needs to be in the morning. And it needs to be first thing. As much as it can be first thing. Because it's really easy. If I was to give Gaz $100, but I've spent half of it, am I giving him $100? No, I'm giving him 50. And we can do the same thing with God. If we go 12 o'clock in the day, here, God, take my day. What about the rest? And so it is actually important. That's why I say the daily discipline of surrender, because it is that daily discipline. Because as you go to work, your will become very loud. For me as a teacher, I naturally will think about all the tasks I need to do that day. If it's a big day or I'm going through a struggle, that consumes my thoughts and my will starts to control my thoughts. So I actually have to put on worship. Worship's really important to start the day with, because it takes your mind off you. It takes your mind off you. You can adore your Lord, adore your favor, look for that intimacy. And then literally a minute before I get to work, order the coffee shop, that's when I just say that daily prayer of surrender. So it's literally, God, take control of my day. I give it to you. Your kingdom come, your will be done today. How do you want me to teach my classes? How do you want me to love my wife? How do you want me to love my daughter? How do you want me to work in church? How are you wanting me to call that person? Who are you wanting me to call today? Who's in real need today? You're not invited back next time, Mum. Matthew 22, 34. So if you surrender your day, what does his will actually look like for the day? Because we've talked about a lot about what the big W will of God looks like, and we've talked a lot about surrendering our will, but what does he actually want us to do through the day? Like if we're going through the absence, if we're bringing everything out, what goes in? And so that leads me to my second point, which is in Matthew 22, 34 to 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest in the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. The law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And that comes to my second point, which is, if the first point is daily surrender, daily discipline of surrender, the second one is love God and love people, love others. I love this scripture because it makes it super easy. His will for your day is super easy. Love God, love others. It also answers the question, am I called into ministry? Yes, love God, love others. In fact, what I do through my day here at church, or what Gaz does through his day here at church, doesn't incorporate loving God and loving others, then what are we doing? We're not actually living his greatest commandment. And so it's actually really important for us to orientate ourselves with that every day. Now, it's important to define that word love, because the world has a very, very vague definition of the word love. And in that scripture, in Matthew 22, the Greek word is agapeo. It's the verb of agape, and it means an active, self-sacrificial, and unconditional love. So it's actually, you know how kind of love in the world can be, oh, I love you. I give, but I get. This is actually not about that. This is about others. This is about putting other needs. Real love. Jesus loved us. So what did he do? He died. God so loved the word that he gave. Love is a doing word. It is a verb. It's something to be done. Like faith without works is dead, so is love at its core. It is putting the needs of others above yourself. That is what we're called to in the day. This is why dwelling on the big W will of God can be a trap. Because we are looking inward instead of God's daily plan of looking outward and adding value to others. And so it's important for us to, that's why that daily surrender is important, because it's literally shifting the arrow from inward, turning it and going, God, what are you doing with others today? What are you doing in my workplace? What are you doing with my family? How can I add value instead of looking to be added to? So as I started to gain this, my teaching changed. I went from clinging to my preferred results to doing what is best for my students, for parents looking to add value and encourage parents, especially those that had great kids, and to my colleagues. As I disciplined students, I started to speak about God's best for their life instead of how their actions were affecting what I wanted to achieve. I started to support and encourage my colleagues instead of waiting for that encouragement. It changed how I interacted with my father. I started to honor him and add value to him instead of waiting for him to see my value. I changed how I served in church. I looked to make others feel welcome and seen instead of sitting back waiting to be seen. I add value to my pastor and leaders instead of waiting for them to see my value and all the things I can give. I just added value. I just encouraged. I loved. I served. I was like, what best can I do to help you today? It even changed how I shared the gospel with love with those that that don't have a relationship with Jesus. I surrendered what I wanted to see. And I ask God, how do you want me to value this person today? How do you want me to love them well? And then I trusted God with the rest. Sometimes he asked me to preach and to speak the gospel. Sometimes he asked me to not, just to love them. There was one time where I was literally, I could see I was at the servo and a guy was in front of me and he was struggling to pay like his 15 bucks, which he thought that that's all he needed to, he would have had in his bank account, and then he just wanted to get, and we were like literally halfway between Bunbury and Perth, so like if he didn't get fuel, he wasn't going anywhere. And I just butted in and I said, hey, can I pay for that today? And he was like, really? I'm like, yeah. And so I paid for it, and then and he thanked me and he said, why did you do that? And I'm like, dude, God loves you. Have a great day. And I left it at that. Don't know what. I just hope he felt loved, hope he felt valued, and if I ever meet him again, hopefully I can share the gospel, but that's not what God asked me to do in that moment. And I think sometimes people have the perception of Christians will only love when they get what they want back. And I'm like, that's not God's heart. Like, the woman that was about to be stoned, Jesus wrote a line in the sand and said, go sin no more, daughter. Didn't give her a 10-step sermon of what she should do now. Just said, be loved, go. And that leads, loving God and loving others allows you to be a minister of faith. As you align yourself with God's will for every day and grow in the way that you love him and love others, your faith in his will for your life grows. So it actually builds up your faith. And the reason why it builds up your faith is because you're aligning yourself with the word of God. When we're not aligning ourselves with the will of God, our faith diminishes. It takes from it. But when we are living by the will of God, that's when our faith in him grows. So you grow in your expectation of how he will use you as you surrender your day and start to discern those God moments. Yeah. And that leads me to my final point. Bands, you can make your way up. The third point in God's in faith in God's will. First, that daily discipline of surrender. Two, love God, love others. But then three, the big W will of looks after itself. The little will of God unveils the big W will of God. In Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. As you give, God cares about you. He cares about your futures. He cares about releasing you into the big W will of God. But if you seek his kingdom first, he will add it. And the reason why he'll add it is because you're being a good steward of what God's given you every day. You're using every day to serve him. And as you surrender the day, as you look to love others, these things compound. Like it's like one day turns into a week. That turns into a month, that turns into 6 months, and turns into a year and multiple years. And before you know it, you're using gifts that you've never thought you've had. Because you're loving people. You're actually looking to add value to them. And so then you discover that spiritual gift as you continuously love others. As you surrender each day and love God, He starts to speak to you about your identity, gives you your true name. As you have your arrows pointed outwards and look to add value to others, God shows you the career you should have. Or it puts in front of you an ability to change that career path. That's what happened to me. I didn't expect this. I didn't ask for this. I was completely happy being a minister of faith in the realm of education. I still do feel that. I love being a teacher. It's part of my calling. It's part of who God created me to be. But God opened up this door. And this was the only thing that gave me peace, looking at applying for other schools. And every time it was like, Holy Spirit was like, nah. I've called you to speak into the hearts of men. I didn't learn to prophesy in a church. I'd learned to encourage students. And through their encouragement, God gave me glimpses into their future and I could speak life into their future. For those singles out there, I knew my wife Mel 10 years before we got together. And when we met, she wasn't ready. And she would have rejected me if I asked her out. But I didn't know that at the time. My question was, God, what's best for her life? How do I love her well? And He was like, be her friend. And so I did for 10 years, was her friend. We were in separate churches, so we didn't see each other much. But it was that choice I made to actually add value to her instead of asking her to be something she wasn't willing to be that allowed me to be a good friend, allowed me to be a good boyfriend and eventually husband, because trust me, it actually gets harder once you get married to put the other person's needs first. So it was a great test. Before you know it, God unveils the big W things in your life. Big W will. But it comes from being at the center of His will every day. My time's up.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Belmont.